Since the beginning of September, we have been reflecting on what it means for us to be the living church today. First, we walk through the letter of James, a letter written to an early church, a reforming church, a church seeking to understand what faithful living looked like in their time and place to help us understand what faithful living looks like in our time and place. Like us, they sought to be a community of faith that experienced the reconciling life and death of Jesus while also living in a broken world where God's kingdom had not yet come on earth as it is in heaven. James implored the early church to be doers of God's word, not merely hearers of God's word. And James implored us to be active, to be alive in our response to the story of Jesus. Then, beginning 5 weeks ago, we began reflecting on our own church, on the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church USA, and considered how we, together, are called to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. And today we reach the end of our five-week sermon series on the Gospel of Mark, reflecting on how we, as a congregation, live into our vision, into the vision of our denomination. And so we're going to say it together one last time. For those of you who remember, in the PCUSA, we are P for prayerful, C for courageous, U for united, S for serving, and A for alive. All right. Last but certainly not least, we are on to the A of the PCUSA. And we will reflect on what it means for us to be alive. Being a church alive is described this way by our denomination. We are a people of the resurrection. Though death surrounds us, we are not afraid because we follow the one who was raised from the tomb. The Holy Spirit gives us courage to build a community that reflects the fullness of God's image in humanity, beautifully diverse and no longer divided by age, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexuality, physical and mental ability, geography, or theological conviction. In the sure and certain hope of resurrection, we testify that the church and its members are called to follow Christ's model by risking all, even life itself, for the sake of the gospel. We are a people of the resurrection. We follow the one who was raised from the dead, the one who testifies to the world upending power of God at work in our midst. Shedding ourselves of our human-made divisions, we are drawn by the Holy Spirit to be in relationship with one another, and together we are called to the risky business of loving God and loving our neighbor. This is what a church alive looks like, according to our denomination. And this is what a church alive looks like in this place, too. And our scripture lesson for this morning, which comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, highlights for us the difference between a church going through the motions and the church alive to the dynamic presence of God. So I invite you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the 18th verse, reading through to the 27th. And let us listen for God's word for us today. Let us pray. Holy and living God, in our daily life, in our time together as a community, may we bear witness to your living presence in our midst. Reveal to us your love through your word. May we share this love in this place and beyond these walls. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Some Sadducees, who say there's no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. They said, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, left no children. And the second married her and died, leaving no children. And the third, likewise, none of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Is not this the reason that you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is God, not of the dead, but of the living." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So our text picks up today after Jesus has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and Jesus is now in the temple. He has, by this point, driven out all those who were selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers, and now he's teaching. And while he teaches, different religious authorities are peppering him with questions, seeking to challenge his voice and ministry, questioning his authority and his knowledge of the law. First, the chief priests, scribes, and elders ask their questions, followed by the Pharisees and the Herodians. And next come the Sadducees, members of a sect of Judaism who, among other things, didn't believe in the idea of resurrection. Citing a law of Moses, the Sadducees lay out a hypothetical problem for Jesus in an attempt to trip him up. Moses says that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. What if the wife gets passed along and marries each subsequent brother? When they are resurrected, who will her husband be? Can't you see their faces when they're asking this question? You can hear the tone in the voice. They really think they've got him cornered. They know the answer to this one. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. Jesus responds first by speaking of God's power. And then he reminds the Sadducees that the miraculous power of God ought not to be reduced to such a limited view. Rather than relegate the power of God to an afterlife existence only, Jesus implores the Sadducees and us to consider what God is doing in the here and now, to consider what God is doing among the living. Jesus uses the Sadducees' example of Moses to then remind them that God identifies as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, highlighting that God is the God of all generations, present and engaged with each generation as they rise up. Do not get bogged down in the weeds, Jesus tells the Sadducees. Do not believe that your wit or logic is more powerful than God's power to redeem and resurrect to new life that which we believe is dead. For God's power is not for the dead, but for the living. So I want to take a moment and go back and take a look at the scene that Jesus refers to when speaking about God to the Sadducees. For those of you who were worshiping with us last fall, you may remember this from our series on the Exodus. But you see, in the story of the burning bush, Moses was keeping watch over his father-in-law's flock out beyond the wilderness when God, who had heard God's people cry out in suffering under the oppressive Egyptian regime, God spoke to Moses out there beyond the wilderness. God called Moses to go back to free God's suffering people, and Moses asked God what he could say to Pharaoh to make Pharaoh believe that the message that Moses brought was truly from God. And God told Moses, "Tell them the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." In other words, the God of your ancestors is the same God that speaks to you now. Jesus highlights for the Sadducees and for us that the God of our ancestors is the God who speaks to us now. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel both incredibly inconsequential and jaw-droppingly significant. Inconsequential because ours is just one of many, many, many generations in the story of God's people from the very beginning until the very end, and wildly significant because God is indeed alive and at work among us here in this generation too. As the living church, we are alive to the Spirit's movement among us today. We are called to pray together and called to be courageous and take the necessary risks to love our neighbors as Christ calls us to. We're called to give of ourselves and share with one another the experiences we have with God in our midst. We're called to worship and to pursue God's wisdom and to be in relationship with one another, sharing not only the celebrations of life, but also the burdens, that we might come to know more deeply the lived experience of God's love through one another. These are active and ongoing experiences of life that we share in as the body of Christ. And while we as a community are ever-changing and growing, as new people come into the church and longtime friends depart, the constant in our midst is the God of the living who sustains us all. We do not worship a God of only the past, a relic, a God who was there for our ancestors and tends only to their long past spirits. No, we worship the God of the living, which means it's also important for us to acknowledge what God has gifted us with and what God has called us to in the here and now. To be a living church is to be engaged in the lives of our community and to be engaged in ministry as the body of Christ in the world. This church, as you may know, is involved in many different missions and ministries. John mentioned some of them. We support mission co-workers serving God's people in South Sudan and Uganda. We tend to our food insecure neighbors by supporting Christian Community in Action, serving meals at Columbus House, and partnering in ministry with Bread for the World. We care for our neighbors returning from prison by offering tutoring sessions and volunteer opportunities with the local reentry organization Emerge. And we advocate for justice and peace for our immigrant neighbors as a sanctuary church. We believe in the importance of education and spiritual growth of our children and youth, and so we have a Sunday school program, and we partner with nearby churches to create safe space in youth group for our young people to explore their faith together. When new babies are born, we show up with meals, and when sickness or tragedy befalls one of us, we surround them with prayer and care and compassion. We don't always do it perfectly. We don't always do it perfectly because, well, we aren't perfect people. There's room to continue loving one another more proactively, more authentically, more deeply. There's room for us to live more urgently into our calling to care for the marginalized and the oppressed and to upend systems that marginalize and oppress. But because God is a God of the living, we trust that the Holy Spirit is alive and at work among us, drawing us deeper into beloved community so that we are nourished and cared for and able to go out into the world caring for others. If you are new or new-ish to First Pres, I want to share with you something that you may not know about this church. You see, although this church is built on the foundation of faith and faithful work of generations past, we do not live off of the legacy of our ancestors in the form of a financial endowment. Everything that happens in this church year after year is the product of time, talent, and treasure offered by individuals in this church community year after year, generation after generation. Financial giving is one of the marks of life in this living church. We don't cling to the resources that we have for fear that they might disappear someday. Instead, we trust that God has gifted each generation with hands and feet and resources to offer. To be the living church is to trust that ours is a God of the living, the God who is present in the world, creating, redeeming, and sustaining all of life. The God who has called each generation to partner in Christ's service, to usher in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Whether this is your first time visiting with us, or whether you were born into this congregation, whether you're from Redeemer Church or you're from the far reaches of this earth, your presence is a vital part of this living body of Christ. And I, for one, give God all thanks and praise for the witness you bear to Christ's loving and merciful presence in the world. Each of us here, no matter our age, no matter our station in life, has been gifted time and talent and treasure by God. And here in this place, as the living church, your gifts are wanted and needed. You are wanted and needed. You are wanted and needed. You are wanted and needed. We are a people of the resurrection. We follow the one who was raised from the dead, the one who testifies to the world upending power of God at work in our midst. Shedding ourselves of our human-made divisions, we are drawn in by the Holy Spirit to be in relationship with one another. And together, we are called to the risky business of loving God and loving our neighbor. This is what a church alive looks like. Thanks be to God. Amen.